Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There we go.
Ooh, I'm doing a threer.
Oh, I don't know whether I've got time. Hold on. I think I did a fiver. Oh, let's have a sixer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh.
I'm exhausted
now. Stop it. Just showing off now. Where are you?
I'm in Cornwall, but look. Guess what I'm doing?
I know that you're twanging.
Guess what I'm twanging?
An elastic band.
Yes, but what sort of elastic band?
It's a rubber band. It's a rubber band. Are you in the rubber band? I think this could take over from ukuleles for middle-aged ladies. Do you want to join our rubber band?
Well,
we have such fun.
Look at that. I can't stop doing it.
I know what it is. It's one of our facelift rubber bands.
Exactly so.
Have you got one hoiking your jowls up as well?
Well, I'm keeping one handy, is all I'm saying. I'm just keeping one handy in my handbag for jaw tightening purposes, if I want to impress someone that I'm not too close to.
Yes.
Or if there's a photograph being taken, that's all
I'm saying. There's a photo opportunity.
Yes.
You can quickly put your facelift rubber band on. Now, those of you who haven't seen the live show...
won't know what we're talking about.
Yes, it's slightly unfair, but we do a section in the live show, which is a mini DIY facelift with the aid of a rubber band.
Totally free. Totally free.
Well, totally free if you pick the rubber band up off the floor.
Yes.
You know, outside your house. You know when the postman just can't be arsed. They can't be arsed to put the rubber bands back in their pockets. And they just drop them.
That's right. Got to be the right length of elastic band. We do stress. If it's too small, you might do yourself an injury, cut off the blood supply to your brain.
Easily take your eye out, Judith. I mean, you know, and we just want to say, though, this is our patented DIY facelift, the rubber band facelift. But there is a sort of, if you read the small print, which is in just in minute print, it says, if you take your eye out, it's not our fault.
But I tell you what, so the reason why I do think we should have patented it, is that, you know, now I'm sounding like a real big head, but before the show, as you know, The Guardian sent a photographer, because they're doing this article about me being a sort of newbie on stage. Anyway, I thought, well, do you know what? I'm going to go into the gig bag over there and I'm going to get myself one of the elastic bands. Put it on. And I said, well, can you see it? You know, because I said, don't make me look like a double chick. You know, make sure you don't. So he said, no, I can't see it at all. He said, do you know, I kept it on for all the photos. He said, okay, if I can see it, I don't think I can see it. If I can see it, I'm going to Photoshop it out. What's more, could I have a handful, please? Because I'm going to offer them to all my clients. That's what he said.
Just hold on a damn minute. I don't want, you know, he might have Judi Dench tomorrow and all of a sudden there'll be other celebrity actressy types all of a sudden with a very tight jaw.
You're right. Worse than that.
I'm not sure. I don't approve of him... blocking it out if it can be seen. I don't think he should Photoshop your pictures.
What, only to block out the rubber band?
Well, no, if you're wearing a rubber band, wear your rubber band with pride, woman. Are you going to get photo approval, Judith? I'm now getting quite concerned.
Of course not. Of course I won't have photo approval. No, but actually, when you were talking about Judi Dench trying it out, tell you what would be rather galling. Would be if Judi Dench, for instance, or Helen Mirren. No, Helen Mirren wouldn't do it because she's got a jawline anyway, don't know how she does that.
Well, she's probably, if you look behind her ears, there's probably a fucking massive knot. Allegedly.
No, but wouldn't it be annoying if Judi Dench brought out, you know, the Judi Dench elastic band that everyone was sending off for, and they'd be sort of, you know, go viral and they'd make a fortune. That'd be annoying.
I just have to remind you that it's a rubber band that you put, you sort of put round your head.
Are you bringing me down to earth?
I'm sorry, I'm
just bursting my bubble.
Slightly, yes. I think show business has gone to your fucking head. Or else it's that great big crack on the head that you had.
I think the whole experience has gone to my head.
It's made you giddy, Judith. It's made you giddy.
Giddy. I had the time of my life.
Well, it's over now. It's over. We've done those four. It's over for now. We had it filmed, though. We had it. People saw that it was being filmed. And that is in the hope that other theatres might be willing to invite us, hopefully, for matinees around the country. We are working on it, gang. So, you know, if you live in further flung places, we do hope to see you, you know, at the end of the year or into next year. Who knows? Who knows? But I'm glad you had fun, Judy.
I really, really did. And so, and funnily enough, I think now I kind of get, you know, your need to be on stage. You know, I mean, for years, we've known each other for years, and quite often you say, oh, yeah, I'm just about to start another tour, you know, another 40 days, which I know you're about to do shortly anyway.
Yeah.
And you'd and I'd say, oh, right, you know, and say, oh, well, that'd be, you know, that'd be good, that'd be nice kind of thing. Secretly thinking, oh, God, you know, having to pack your bag, all those Marks and Spencer's picnics in hotel rooms.
The loneliness, the loneliness.
Well, the slog of it and being away from your own bed and all that. But I sort of hadn't factored in the kind of...
The upside.
Yeah, the thrill.
The upside.
The upside.
Yeah. Exactly. But I have to also say that the four matinees that we did have completely ruined me for touring, because it was the easiest gig to get to ever. I mean, what would happen is if we did it on a Saturday or Sunday, Jeff would give me a lift to the Oval on the way up. I'd get the tube to Leicester Square. I'd pop into Pret. Toilets still aren't working. They've not been working for a month. If I need a wee or a poo, I go over to Five Guys Name Mo, just across the road, where the lavatories are very clean. I have to compliment them on their sparkling cleanliness, and pull your fucking self together. Not having lavatories working for a month. I mean, what's going on?
Oh, that's outrageous. It's not just Pret. If it was only just Pret, then I wouldn't mind. But they're all doing it now, I've noticed.
They don't want anyone in. They just don't want anybody plipping or weeing in their lavatories.
No, they do not.
I don't think they've got the cleaners. I don't think they've got the staff. There's something afoot, Judith. There's something afoot. There genuinely is.
It comes to something, though, doesn't it, where you and I navigate our way round by public loo.
By decent public lavatories that we, you know, that not only, you know, we can use just because we have to, but we might enjoy using.
Well, yes. I mean, I'd be fine with just able to use, you know, that would be fine with me.
I have to say, Five Guys was a pleasant experience.
Yes, you see, now that is worth us... broadcasting to the nation, isn't
it? Well, I'm not sure they'll be that thrilled, because, you know, it just means there's a tide of people going in from Pret. Anyway, so yes, it was for me, it was a complete eye-opener into sort of how easy gigs can be, because it was, as I say, public transport there, public transport back.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was a matinee.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
the glory of the matinee. I mean, I used to not hate them, because that's a terrible thing to take if you're lucky enough to have a stage role, you know, in the West End, which requires the matinee. And we did that with Grumpy on a couple of occasions. But sometimes you do have to drag yourself in, because you think, OK, we've got the matinee, then we've got show number two.
I don't know how you do it. I mean,
well,
you just do.
You lie down on the floor of your dressing room for about an hour and a half. You have another sandwich from another sandwich bar, and then you just stand in the wings with your mates and just go, oh, here we go again, one, two, three, off we go. And once you're on stage, it's all there, the adrenaline's there, the buzz is there. But yeah, it can get to be a bit of a slog, and touring, it's never the gigs. The gigs are always, you know, I'm always glad to be on stage, but sometimes when you're stuck in traffic and it's taken 3 hours to get out of London, you do feel like you might go a little bit insane. So
I bet you do.
A, getting the show together in a sort of, because I knew that we couldn't script a show, because it would just never work.
I'd never be able to remember it for a start. Had trouble remembering the six things I had to remember. Had trouble remembering them.
Well, ditto. But you know, once that we sort of came to a conclusion what kind of show it could be, it knocked itself into shape quite easily. I mean,
yes,
there's still
did.
Improvements we can make. And
yeah.
It's a movable yeah. feast. And if we do more, you know, it'll adapt and change as we go along. And hopefully it'll, you know, be a bit topical and blah, blah. I don't know.
Well, steady on.
Can we get any more costume changes into it, et cetera?
Oh, we like our costume changes.
Yeah,
don't
when
we
started, we didn't even have a costume change. By week two, we were costume change at the interval. But no, it was a show that I think because you had your producer's head on, I've got this sort of stage experience. And together
yeah.
we could just yeah. knock this little yeah. show yeah. together.
Yeah. And it was very good of you to share the stage with somebody, an absolute newbie. It really was genuinely very, it was a risk for you. I might have been absolutely dreadful.
I really find it quite interesting. I used to really enjoy it with some of the Grumpy Cast when they weren't stand-ups, they were actresses and they had to relearn how to use the stage in
yeah.
a more stand-up-y kind of way. So it's just... It's a really interesting process, you know, as long as they don't get too good and start fucking winning best newcomer prizes and all that shit.
I don't think there's any danger of that. But also, wasn't it great to see the gang? I mean, that was such a thrill for both of us. And
the effort some of them went to.
I
mean, we have to mention after some of our mates that came, some of the owls that came, there was Helen and Donna who came and they had full owl headgear on, didn't they, Judith?
Which they'd made as
felt. One of them had made and designed and made. I mean, they were clever. They were made out of really nice, smooth felt with big eyes and tufty ears and the whole fucking shebang.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously Breton tops each. No, they really went to town.
They'd made more effort than we had in some respects. But we are incredibly grateful to everybody who came along. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for all your gifts and backstage
goodies.
Oh,
and the gifts. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mike and I arrived in Cornwall yesterday and we sat on the balcony and got out Jane Sawyer's bag that she sent us. You got one, I got one.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
still got the measure of me. I think you got a slightly different one. Mine had giant chocolate buttons in it, mini cheddars, obviously, a little bottle of Prosecco for me and a gin and tonic for Mike.
Yeah.
I mean...
Perfect.
You know, they just know us, don't they?
Did you sit on the balcony and have your goodies?
Well, I'd eaten the chocolate buttons. Yeah.
Well, it's a long drive, Judy. It's a long drive. Hello. I said to Jeff, there's a gin and tonic chilling in the fridge for you if you fancy it later. He went, ooh.
Oh.
And I've got a little bottle of Chardonnay. Very lucky indeed. So tell me about Cornwall. Are you having a little break now? You're going to have a sort of proper rest? Because
I am. I've got some projects afoot, craft projects afoot.
What have you brought down with you? What have you brought down to do?
Yes, I bought the sewing machine.
Okay.
And actually, do you want a little bit of advice from the gang? Because, well, I tell you what happened. I bought a pair of trousers from Jaeger, you know, at Marks & Spencer's. Yeah.
It's still pricey, though, isn't it? Jaeger at Marks &
Spencer's. It's still pricey. Oh, it's still pricey.
Were they over 80 quid?
Oh, yeah. A pair of trousers, they were about 90 quid. So I put them on. I loved them. I thought they were gorgeous. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I could make these.
Yeah.
So, yes, I took them back. And what I did, Jenny, is
I looked them.
Well, no, I'm not that clever. I wouldn't trust myself like that. But, you know, trousers can't be that hard to make, can they? And so I looked at the label and it said 100% viscose, right?
Okay, that's like a nylon. It's a man-made fabric, Judith.
It's a man-made fabric, but I don't know, it was just lovely. It was nice and kind of light, but not too light.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's what I want. So I started, I probably spent hours doing this when I should have been doing more useful things, but you know what hobbies are like.
Oh, yes.
You get on a project.
They are the thief of time, Judith.
Yes, they are.
The thief of time.
Oh, I was scampering all over the place online looking at Lady McElroy viscose and John Caldor.
I think you nearly got confused between viscose and vichyssoise then, Judith. Viscoise, you said. Viscoise.
No, I soon discovered there was very much the crème de la crème of viscose. But the thing is, you can't feel it, and that is the problem, isn't it? Because what I want, and this is the advice I want, and because I think I put out a plea for patterns not so long ago, and got some great
You got
advice.
A lot of advice then.
I did. I don't know where to go to find loads and loads of fabrics that you can go around and feel, because I tell you what, John Lewis Haberdashery Department, I don't know whether you've been in there recently. It disappoints.
What, the London one?
The London one. It disappoints, Jenny.
I think you'd be better off, Judith, in right. the haberdashery at Peter Jones in Sloane Square.
I do.
I mean, somebody might put me right on this, but I do think that there might be a bigger and sort of more intense fabric kind of situation.
Yeah. Right.
I think I might be right. Also, I mean, people in the know, Soho used to be really good because that's where all the drag queens go and get their fabrics from.
Oh, is it?
So, of course it is. So there'll be a lot of viscose stuff around there, or stretchy fabrics, or slinky stuff, or whatever.
Yeah.
With trim, you know, pattern and trim. And weirdly enough, no, not that weirdly, really, I suppose, Peckham has got a few material shops. But it's a long way to come, Judith, and then
it
not
is
find
a long
what
way
you
to
want.
Come. Yes,
I'll tell
absolutely.
You what, I'll ask our Vanessa. I'm seeing Vanessa tomorrow. You know, she's very good. She's got
a
proper dressmaker's dummy that is exactly her shape. It's like
having a twin
in the house. Yeah. If she put a sort of red wig on it, you'd go, fucking hell, there's two Vanessas in the house.
Well, it's funny you should say that because that's on my birthday present list.
Oh.
It's on my, yes, I really, yeah. I've got that. I don't know whether I'll get it, but I'm hoping to get one.
You'll get it, yeah. Judith. You'll get it. You'll get it. And where are you going to put it?
Well, there's a bit of me that thinks that just like I put up with the fucking Corby Press for all those years, I should put it in the corner of the bedroom. Do you know what I mean? There it is.
It's slightly terrifying for Mike that he can never get away from you. You know, coming for a little solo nap and there's another version of you, you know, standing over him. Yeah, I think it's a very good idea. No, people get, I mean, the next thing, oh, I know what's going to happen because you are quite competitive. I've seen what happens when I share the stage with you, you sort of lap it up and lap it up. Once you get this tailor's dummy right, you're going to be on, I bet, a sewing bee next year.
You know I'm not nearly exacting enough. I'm too lazy.
Well, you do. You are a bit of a shortcutter.
If of course,
you can,
I am.
Yeah, if you can use what's that Velcro? If you can Velcro up a hem, you
that's
will.
That's right.
I know
that's
you.
Right.
Your pantsuit, your stage pantsuit, lasted
it's
four
all right,
shows,
isn't it? I don't know how much longer it'll last now, but yes, you know, once it's in the real life, I was keeping it just for my shows. The trouble is, I know that if they're a success. That that's fine. I'm you know I'm very happy to make you a pair if they're successful because can't be rocket science, can it, making a pair of trousers?
No, because actually I spoke to Jeff about this very thing the other day. He said, "Oh, I think I could knock you up a pair of those."
Oh, does he now?
But I
does
thought, well,
he?
How? We haven't even got a sewing machine in the house. What does he do?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
Now, listen, I had a very exciting day last week. And
right.
I just want to sort of fill you in on this because it was like such a happy day for me. And I wasn't being paid. I'd been asked to go and spend a day at this charity called the Kirstler Art Centre. The Kirstler Charity for Prisons, right? So, and it's at the Kirstler Art Centre, which is in the sort of shadows of Wormwood Scrubs over there in East Acton.
Right.
Which is a sweet little place. You get off the tube and you're sort of all of a sudden in a different land. And it's all, I don't know, the only way I can describe it is in Dulwich, just outside on the borders of Dulwich, there's these, what they call homes for heroes. And there are all these houses, really sweet houses, built after the war. Little red brick houses, but they're all built in little cul-de-sacs around green spaces. And really, there's a real villagey feel about them. There's something very community.
And what do you mean, like sort of almshouses for ex-military?
Yeah, yeah, but almshouses are usually Victorian and very, very attractive. And, you know, they've got that sort of style of architecture. They're sort of more modern than that. They're sort of post-war. But they've still got this sort of... I don't know. It's as if these are your neighbours. You will live in this sort of neighbourhood and hopefully you will all support each other. There's that kind of vibe going on with it. I found it quite attractive. Anyway, so I get to this place, this Kersler Art Centre. And it's an old Victorian house. They are moving into a big studio soon. And it is a prison charity, as I said, and they're doing this big competition for people who are detained for whatever reason. So it's not only prisons, it's mental health units and refugee centres.
What a brilliant idea.
I think there were 8,000 entries.
Oh, my goodness.
And the night before, I'd been at the Royal Academy to see the summer show for the Marie Curie Foundation, which is always a really lovely night, and the canapés are great, and you always bump into some old mates, and that's nice. And the artwork's obviously great, but you have to go back again because there's too many people on a charity night, and you need to sort of, we'll go there again. But, we had a really good look, and it was really exciting. But equally exciting was seeing this artwork because it was... It's stories. It's people's stories. I mean, it's a really difficult thing to describe because you just knew that behind every picture was something had happened. There was everything and more on paper, on canvas, on board. There was made up stuff. There was pattern. There were flowers. There was scenery. There were portraits. There was... I can't pinpoint, any...
Wow.
But what there was so much colour, Judith. There was so much colour. And it was really... I don't know.
Moving. Sounds very moving.
It was really moving.
Yeah.
You would sometimes stop and think, what has this person done? Why are they...
That's right. And when they were painting this... What was it doing to them? I would imagine it was an escape, but it was taking creativity to another level, really.
Yeah. And I'm not somebody that doesn't believe in prison. I totally believe in prison. I totally believe in punishment for people who've committed crimes. People have to be put away. They have to be punished. But I don't believe in soul crushing. And I think that there's so many people in prison that are on such nursery slopes of such... falling in with stupid people and doing daft things and young kids and doing things to impress people. And, down the other end are the hard nuts and the psychopaths and the terribly dangerous people. But, it's such a fishing net of just, for some people just never had a chance, did they?
No. And I would think that sort of ability to be creative... and let's hope they're encouraged to be creative, would be a complete lifeline and would be the way, I'm sure, that I would, keep my sanity if I possibly could.
Well, Judith, you'd be fine in an open prison. You'd have to be in an open prison, though, because you know what you like about fresh air. I mean, I wouldn't be that fussed, to be quite honest. I'd be quite happy being indoors. But if you were allowed to take in your I don't know if they'd let you take in your tailor's dummy.
That's a trouble, isn't it?
You know, the difference for us is that we actually think, we'd be quite happy with a weekend, stuck in a cottage somewhere in Norfolk with the rain tipping it down. And, far too cold to go out.
I know, we have no idea, really, do we?
We've no idea, none whatsoever.
But very well put, Jenny, the way you put that. I mean, really, really well put. And what a bloody good thing to do. I would love to see it.
Well, you can. I think that they're going... The exhibition is being curated at the moment. And
did you have to judge in lots of different categories?
There were 250 prizes or awards. It was, yeah, we had to, it was a slog. It was, you know, it was fairly intense work. It wasn't, it was me and two others. So, you know, I made new friends, Judith. That's nice, isn't it?
Cause you know, it is. And are you going to be there when they're presented with their prizes?
Well, probably not, because I'll be on tour, won't I? I'll be, you know what my life's like. From September to November, it's going to be all over the place again. I know. I mean, I'm lucky to get it, to be honest.
No, but you're not.
It was a really, I felt useful, you know. And that's, I think sometimes you do this more than me, which is, and I, you know, because you volunteer for more things than me, and you do things.
Well,
for
village
me,
life village. Means that you have to get sort of you muck in, don't you? Where you don't have no choice, but yes, absolutely. Well, they say, don't they, that volunteering is something that kind of, you know, gives you the most satisfaction or happiness and so on.
I don't know whether I kind of approve of it.
What, volunteering?
Yes.
Well, I mean, okay, if in an ideal society that was, you know, awash with money, I suppose you'd pay for everything. But do you know what? In the Netherlands, the older people like us, because I'm putting you in the same category as me.
Right. But it's probably the over 65, so I'm probably not in
that I think
category.
It's the over 60s, Jenny. If you volunteer for things, they don't pay you, but they pay you in either hairdressing tokens or like the equivalent of M&S tokens, or you get tokens to spend when you're perhaps in care yourself. And I think that is a really good idea, because there is something
absolutely. Okay. I have a bit of a problem with quite moneyed societies. And I mean, I love the National Trust up to a point, but I don't really approve of their volunteer thing.
No, because the membership's not cheap of the National.
No. So I don't see why they're not being paid. I mean, I know people probably get a huge amount out of it. And if you are a National Trust volunteer, you know, let us know. Write us an email. What's our email address, Judith? I think I'm just going to put you on the spot.
You've thrown that ball to me, haven't you? Olderwiderpod@gmail.com. I didn't have to even think about it. Oh, yes.
Well done. Now then.
We've only been doing it for 5 years.
Is it 5 years? Oh, doesn't time fly?
Doesn't
I'll tell you something
fly.
Else. I'll tell you how time flies. It's Arlo's birthday this Friday.
I know, this week. Gosh. God, what, so, what's happening? What's the birthday boy having?
Well,
what's he doing?
It's a nursery day Friday, so Phoebe's going to have the day to herself, and she's going to go and see the Barbie, the movie. I think she thinks it's her day. I pulled a face at this, so apparently I'm allowed to go and collect him from nursery. I've bagsied one of those helium one balloons like you had for the twins.
Oh, brilliant.
And I've copied you again and got one of those little hats from
Etsy.
A mini, tiny little hat.
Lovely.
I don't know whether he'll allow it on his head, but I mean, now he's not wearing the helmet. I'm not sure he'll ever have anything on his head ever again. But no, I mean, I've not gone overboard with him because...
Right, what have you bought him?
Well, I bought him his first dolly.
Oh, nice idea.
Yes, yes. And it's a soft-bodied aerial mermaid dolly. It was in the sale at John Lewis. And I just thought, no, I'm going to introduce him to dollies. I want him to have a dolly. I want him to have his favourite dolly.
A mermaid dolly, though.
Yes, it's Ariel. Yeah, with long hair. He's going to love her.
Oh.
And I've got him lots of other bits and bobs, you know, toys, books, clothes. But I've not gone stupid. I'm not making the case. Because I know you want to know who's making the cake.
I do.
It was a pointless question, really, isn't it, Judith, really?
You've got to have a cake. You can't have a birthday without a cake.
He's very allergic to eggs because he was at a party last weekend for Tristram's mother's birthday, and he ate a bit of potato off someone's plate, and it had been near some sauce with egg in it, like a mayonnaise or béarnaise or something, and he immediately came up in a rash around his mouth.
Oh, my God, he really is allergic
to it,
isn't he?
So, but he was given baby Puritan. It went down more or less immediately, but that's why you have to have the Puritan and the egg. You've just got to be really careful. And people, you know, are a bit casual about egg and milk, I think.
Yes,
you know, people are really frightened about nuts.
Peanuts and things.
Yeah, people know that that's a really bad one.
I know what you mean.
But I think they can just get a little bit forgetful and they'll think, oh, it's just a bit of scrambled egg. No, it's egg! You know, it's sort of like you've got to take these allergies quite seriously. But nobody does anything on purpose. So, it wasn't dramatic. And, you know, he's tolerating milk in biscuits, so he can now move on to milk in muffins or something. Phoebe's making those, Jesus God knows how, because really, I saw her cut an apple up today. It was torturous.
And she's making muffins.
Oh, she's meant to, yeah. So give me a quick catch up on the twins. I know we're not allowed to be boring about it, but...
They're still not walking, but they're very, very close. And what they're doing at the moment is they both look like they're sort of on deck of a ship in a really rough sea.
That's
so
very
sort of, they hold on to the kind of knobs on one cupboard and then totter, and then the next thing, and then onto a table.
I think that's walking. That's walking.
Really, kind of. And then Eddie will just suddenly stand up and like... sort of like, here's my turn, here's my party, look at this, I can stand up. And he stands up for about 10 seconds and then falls down again. But it won't be long. Everyone warns us that with twins, that when they do start walking, that is actually when it gets difficult because they go in two different directions. You know, how on earth are we going to manage at sort of playgrounds?
I think you have to harness them like ponies.
I think we do. We
you know,
will,
in a double harness. I don't know. And... I think that they are going, instead of putting them in their double buggy, I think you need to harness them in front of it so they pull the buggy themselves and Sienna
and
James
donkeys.
Sit in the buggy. Yeah.
That's such a great idea.
Anyway, right, now then, Culture Corner, Mrs. Lady.
I've been watching a bit of The Proms.
Oh, we can't be friends.
Very,
that's it, Judith. That actually is. That is a line that you have crossed... that you cannot come back from.
Is it?
We can never be on stage together again. I mean, you know, that is really... I don't know what to say to you.
You don't, do you? Well,
no.
Okay, so let me whet your appetite then, just see if I can change your mind. I haven't... I mean, I don't watch them all the way through, but I tell you what, I read that for the first time ever, The Proms are using a lady conductress, if that's what you have to say, I don't know, for the first night and the last night. You see, that's never happened before, so I thought that was interesting. So I searched on Google iPlayer and I watched the first night of The Proms. And there's this amazing woman called Dalila Stazewska.
Is it Dalila or Dalila?
No, I think it's Dalila. And she's Finnish. Right, she's Finnish. And she had her hair in a sort of Margot Fante bun and a floaty thing like the one that you wear on stage. And she's obviously very pregnant. And I just thought...
Yeah, I haven't got that excuse. I'm just quite fat.
Well, I kind of realised once I'd said it there, that was the implication. Sorry about that. But... No, I just thought how wonderful to be in charge of this whole auditorium and this great big orchestra, and you're very pregnant. And
you're only pointing a fucking stick, though.
Well, yeah,
you know, I genuinely don't think there are many orchestras that aren't well enough trained to do it without stick lady or stick man.
I'm sure
I don't know how. I don't know. You can. I'll take any amount of email about this. I'm just not sure. I'm not convinced how important stick man woman is.
Well, I don't think you and I.
The skill is in the musicians and what they play.
I don't know. You see, because they know all that. Obviously, they know all. They've got all the words, haven't they? Effectively, they've got all the
musical
words.
Yeah, but if they don't know when to come in, then I can't think that they're particularly musical. They're like me. They don't. But they shouldn't be in an orchestra.
No,
if you need someone to point a stick at you as to when you should come in...
I think that you may just have offended a whole load of conductors here.
The
truth is that we wouldn't know. I bet you we probably wouldn't notice whether it was done with or without a conductor. Yeah. But
when you were listening to this shit, the Proms, was it just music or was it singing?
It was just music. However... I then also went on, because they were mentioning it, to watch Cynthia Erivo. Have you heard of Cynthia Erivo, the singer?
I think she's from South London, Judy.
She's from South London, and she is amazing. I think she lives in the States now. She's got Emmys and Golden Globes, but she can sing like
Streisand
or Simone or Shirley Bassey. And she's not just emulating them, she kind of brings something else. She's quite a slight young
I'm looking
woman.
Looking her up, Cynthia.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, she's a funky girl.
Very funky girl. And to see someone like her commanding the Royal Albert Hall at a Proms night, it was just fabulous. I would really recommend it. And
we're quite keen on her. And we like the idea of the pregnant Finnish stick girl.
Stick girl?
I take it all back. I take it all back.
Good.
But I don't take it back that, you know, you and the proms, it bothers me. It really bothers me. I will, of course, art-wise, I do recommend the Royal Academy Summer Show. There's something for everybody. And I will be plugging the Kirstler Prison Charity Show when that goes to the South Bank. Let's get on to telly,
please.
Judith.
I think we all want to see that. Okay, so waiting for, obviously, the new version, the new episode of Hijack.
Yes.
And also enjoying Blackbird on Apple TV, which I think I mentioned last week, and it's got this rather gripping premise of a prisoner that's trying to get another prisoner to confess.
And that's Taron Egerton, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's based on a true story, apparently. Of course, I don't know what happens in the end. I've got a feeling that he might discover he's actually innocent. That's what I think may be heading towards. It's quite an interesting idea.
No spoilers.
No. Okay.
That's just your thoughts.
That's just my guesswork.
Yeah,
but it's guesswork.
Okay, that's Judith Marple guesswork.
and you, what are you on?
I was going to watch the Tim Spall crime thing, The Sixth Commandment. On BBC.
Oh, yes, that had good reviews, didn't
one,
it?
Like, got 5 stars in The Guardian from Lucy Mangan. But when it came to 9 o'clock last night, I couldn't stomach it, Judith. I couldn't stomach it. So we watched Before We Die, which is quite hard going. We're on series one on Channel 4 Catch Up. It's with Leslie Sharp and the bloke that plays one of the hijackers in Hijack. So it gets a bit. I've had some complicated dreams, Judith.
Oh,
because
I've
watched those two in a row, and then I've gone to bed, and the characters got all bunged up together in a dream. And sometimes I'm watching it, and I think I'm going mad here. We are enjoying that, but it is quite.
Can I just tell you about a ridiculous? Okay, I'm not going to go into the dream, but this has come back to me so often this week, and I'm only going to give you the first line of this dream. I dreamt that I was sent out to buy some suppositories for Paul McCartney.
Well, it's not unfeasible.
I was sent out on this errand, and it ended up me flying to Rome or
there's some in Superdrug, but if you insist on going to Rome for them, I don't blame you, Judy.
I tried to check in without a ticket or a passport. This woman said, how
this
old?
Is a brilliant dream.
This woman said, how old are you? And I said, 37.
Wow.
And she said, I don't think so.
Is that a recent dream?
This week, but it's come back to me several times. It really has. It was a really, really strong dream. She let me on the plane, but only because in the end I said it was 67, not 37, which is where I started. And we went up in decades, and then she eventually let me on. But why I was buying suppositories for Paul McCartney, I don't know. Anyway, there you go.
That's great. Do you know, like, we usually do snore law for dreams?
Yes, we do.
I didn't do it.
Another sentence on it and you'd have done it quite rightly.
I don't think I would actually do this because I'm thinking of pitching that to ITV for a drama. That's what I'm thinking of doing. We are also enjoying Love Island. We dip in and out now and again just to check up on them. They did the snog, marry, pie thing last night.
That sounds awful.
It was great. And we also enjoy Banjo Beale Designs the Hebrides because we're liking the Hebrides. But what's annoying about this programme, every project he does, they say that he's up against a deadline. And you think, why the fuck's he on a deadline on a very remote Hebridean island?
Isn't it?
It spoils the whole thing because you just think, no, he could take another day, finish this properly, and it'd be loads better.
And it'd be better.
But this is telly, isn't it? They're going, it's got to have some jeopardy. It's got to have some jeopardy. Ugh. He's got 2 days. He's got 2 days to do this library. Why?
I think it's a classic example of broadcasters underestimating the audience.
Yeah.
And thinking that they're not going to be interested unless there's this, will they? You know, we're not children.
No, I want to see Banjo do what he can really do, which is extraordinary work, but he's not been given time to finish it all off properly, and that's annoying. Anyway, yes. Daisy's sister lives on one of those islands.
I know.
Daisy, which one is she on?
She's on Iona.
On Iona? Haven't been to Iona.
No, I'm going to be there very soon.
I bet you are.
Oh, God. Honestly, the water just looks... When you see the scenery of the Hebrides, I mean, often it's sheeting down and everything like that, but when it's not and the sun comes out, oh, and the colour of the water, I mean, it's
and the
just
sand as well. I bet the sand's white.
Is it white, Daisy? Is it white sand?
It's like going to the Caribbean.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Dolphins in the sea. It's amazing. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
You two should go on a writer's retreat there.
No, we should be on a writer's stroke sewing maker.
Yeah, there's lots of crafts.
Painters. Yeah. God, we should go and live there, Judith. We'll set up we'll set up an owl sanctuary. And what? By owl sanctuary, what we mean is like-minded ladies that all live together and have a nice time. Right, books.
So I've just downloaded on Audible Seating Arrangements by Maggie Shipstead, who wrote that amazing book that we all read, The Great Circle.
Yes.
And yeah, seems very good, set in New England, and it takes place over 3 days leading up to the wedding of the daughter of the person who's kind of narrating it.
So I'm thinking posh family.
Oh, very posh, very posh.
Okay, but this is not a new book, is it? It's an old Maggie Shipstead.
Yes, although I must say, when I looked at it on Audible, it sort of felt like a new book, but sometimes you have to check, don't you? But anyway, it's a good book, it's a good book. So
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But I do think sometimes they re-release books by people who've just had massive success with different covers to sort of suggest that it's... And my thinking is this is not a new book, but it's a Maggie Shipstead, and we like her.
We do.
I have just downloaded, but not started yet, a book that I have read very good reviews about, and it's called Ordinary Human Failings by Megan Nolan, who had a big hit with her first novel, which I didn't actually read, but this is getting reviews that are saying, you know, this is not the difficult second album, this is a triumph, this proves, you know, her place in the Writers League kind of thing.
Okay.
I don't think we're really fulfilling our book slot at the moment. Well, I'm not.
Well, don't be ridiculous. You get through loads of them. No, I've had very much a sort of stalled a few false starts.
I've had a lull in my reading, but yeah. I'm hoping to get back on board with Ordinary Human Failings, which I think is quite a difficult story, but I'm quite looking forward to it.
There we
go.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is our culture corner roundup. Yes. What have you got planned for your week in Cornwall?
Sewing, and walking, and fresh air. I tell you what, before we go, just one email. Just going to mention one email, if that's all right. Can I do that?
Yes.
Because you know we were talking about Caramac last time and saying that it didn't exist anymore. Well, apparently it does.
That was me talking nonsense, though, wasn't it, Judy?
Apparently it does, and apparently there's a luxury version called Caramilk. Caramilk.
Oh,
I'm going to look for some of that.
Well, I'm not interested in that.
No, I know you're not, but I am. A lot of the owls will be, that's all I'm saying.
I wonder if they do any Caramilk large buttons. That's what you'd like. You'll have a dream about those tonight, Judith. I hope you dream about Caramilk.
A wet dream.
Oh, dear. Oh, I think you've pushed it a bit too far now. I think you should stop. Let's quit before we just turn into two filthy old women talking about wet dreams. Wet dreams are suppositories for Paul McCartney. It's all gone a bit sordid, hasn't it? Anyway, everybody, have a great rest of your week. We're recording on a Tuesday. This will come out on Friday. Have a great weekend. And we will speak with you again, of course, next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Birthday.
I will. Yeah. I'll enjoy it more than he does.
Toodle bit.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.